This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
I've been blessed over the Lord. Have mercy. How many years? I guess the first show that I did with the Augusta Players was 1973. Do the math. 46 years? Yeah. 46 years doing community theater here in Augusta. And there are a few people that I've enjoyed working with as much as I have this young man, Michael Silvio Fortino. Pull up his IMDb page and you'll see that he is starting a career that is going to be fun to follow through the years, working now as a professional actor in Atlanta, but he grew up right here in Augusta. Went to Greenbrier High School, and you know, rather than sitting here and me tell the story, let me pull him up. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing, Austin? And I did not go to Greenbrier.
Lakeside.
I went to Evans.
Oh, Evans. I'm sorry. Who in the world? I'm trying to remember.
Nasty colors on me.
Sir. Which one of you guys went to Greenbrier? Because some of the younger actors that I've worked with actually were students of my wife back in the day. And for some reason, I was thinking you were one of them. But I'm sorry.
That's okay. There are a few of them.
So how long have you now been living in Atlanta? Has it been a full 2 years yet?
It's almost been a year.
Okay.
It's been a year for me.
So you decided to make the move up there because Atlanta has become Hollywood South almost.
Correct. Yes. I mean, there are tons of projects in the area, always filming in and around Atlanta. So there's never a shortage of work when it comes to crew work or stand-in work or featured extra work. If you need a job in film, obviously got to work a little harder for speaking roles. But when it comes to other jobs, they're easy to come by in the city for sure.
By the way, he has appeared in some shows that we can't yet talk about, which is kind of cool, but shows that you do know. He was on Dynasty. No truth to the rumor that you were the Carrington woman's paid boyfriend. That's not true. No. He was on Dynasty. He was on The Deuce. He was on The Inspectors. I'm trying to think here. Is there anything else that hasn't been listed yet that you're allowed to talk about?
I did. I had a little featured bit on Halt and Catch Fire, but that was just very featured. Just a very featured bit.
Well, yeah. That's how it starts out, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
By the way, why isn't your picture on your IMDb page?
Is it off?
I don't see a picture. I see your name, but unfortunately, that little gray faceless profile.
There are two pages. You could be on the wrong one.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, because I want to put under the trivia that that you're a good personal friend of Austin Rhodes, radio talk show.
Oh, that'd be a good question.
Yeah. All right. Well, Michael's, again, just starting out on the professional side of things. He's worked now for a year in Atlanta, and he is one of these human beings that would be greatly affected by an industry pullout of Atlanta. And by the way, even though a lot of the shows that shoot or a lot of the projects that shoot in Atlanta are television projects and small films, I think I looked at it the other day, something like five of the top 10 grossing films of the last 5 years were shot in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Or major portions of them were shot, including both sides of the comic book universe. DC and Marvel are both shooting in Georgia.
Endgame was mostly shot in Atlanta. For the most part, the entire film was in Atlanta. So the number one grossing film of all time was filmed in the state of Georgia.
Wow, that's cool. And there continue to be, you know, projects that are ongoing here. So if there is a serious boycott of Georgia when it comes to the film industry, it is going to matter a lot. Now, Michael, I understand you're not necessarily a political activist, but you are sympathetic to the cause here. Do you think it's really a good idea for the entertainment industry to be drawing these kind of lines in the sand?
Well, Austin, I think it's important to stand up for what you believe in, and if they don't feel comfortable performing here, I think they have every right to leave.
The right is not the discussion here. Everybody has a right to leave. Is this the correct thing to do?
Austin, that's not for me to decide, but I personally understand both sides of the issue. I don't want to get into what my side is in particular. But I completely understand what they're doing, and I understand I understand. It damages our economy, but again, that's based on our government's decision, Austin, and they made the choice to, and again, it's based on their religious views or whatever they have to do to please their constituents, but the point is, they made that choice knowing that that would be the price.
Do you know what would happen if people who consider themselves religious or conservative stopped giving money to artistic organizations and stopped supporting films and television projects?
Right.
I mean, it would, and trust me, hell of a lot of money, particularly in this area.
Absolutely.
Here in Augusta, if the conservatives stopped supporting the arts, they would go away.
Absolutely. And I'm not bashing on religion. You know, I come from a Catholic family, but I do understand, and I do have my own personal views. And
but Michael, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, I admire your talent, I admire your intellect. Mm-hmm. You knowingly work with several very conservative people, and you don't blink an eye, and you don't make any bones about it. You don't hush up when topics come up, but you've never run and hidden from anyone, nor do I think would you, because that's your integrity and that's your open-mindedness. Why aren't they as open-minded as you are?
I don't make the law. I don't make the laws. I just have my personal views. And when I come into work, I come in and do my job. But this law is affecting a lot of women that I work with and a lot of women that I respect. And I don't support this law, and I think it is a bit unconstitutional. And to be honest, they've presented a law similar to this kind of unconstitutional law that was very similar before, and companies like Disney have threatened to pull out. But that was gay marriage, wasn't it? Gay marriage, yeah, mm-hmm. Adopting kids. You know, when they present something that's unconstitutional, these Hollywood companies, yes, as you call them, they stand with their people, and especially companies like Disney.
But here's the problem, though, Michael, is that when a state like California passes a restrictive gun law, which is constitutional, Hollywood could care less. But they're getting upset about this. Why aren't they consistent?
But that's not what we're talking about. My thing is, what we're talking about is this particular issue.
Well, you said constitutional. You said something unconstitutional.
Sure.
Unconstitutional things happen all the time. For instance,
We're looking more at the human rights side right now. That's what we're talking about.
Well, okay.
You know, we can get into gun laws another day, but this is...
But don't mention constitutional unless you want to... And like freedom of speech, for instance, you and I love... Matter of fact, we were just kibitzing on social media about this. You and I love outrageously inappropriate humor. Anthony Jeselnik, we're all going to go to hell for laughing at him, but he's funny as hell. And Michael and I have been joking about him and several other comics, Dave Chappelle, et cetera, et cetera. These guys are absolutely outrageous with what they say, and yet you and I would in a heartbeat defend their right to say it. However, Rush Limbaugh gets in trouble with his First Amendment rights with Hollywood types.
Well, to be fair, though, Austin, Rush Limbaugh is Rush Limbaugh. Anthony Jeselnik on stage is not Anthony Jeselnik off stage. He did mention it in that special as well, that he's so mean on stage because he's such a nice guy off stage, and that's how he gets them. You know, some people have to do what they have to do to, you know, get their stress out, and some people choose comedy.
Well, I mean, I could mention Rachel Maddow as well and others that have said outrageous things as their own personalities come out, which would never be discussed in terms of a boycott or an industry-wide, labor action or anything like this. It just seems to me that the left in Hollywood, the creative folks, are one-sided on this stuff. They get offended about what they get offended about, and it's got nothing to do with the Constitution. It has to do about their personal interpretation of what's right and wrong. And if we start doing that, oh, my goodness gracious, that's a slippery slope.
I understand. But, you know, Austin, these are issues that are important to people. Augusta might not recognize how important this is, but in Atlanta, this would be disastrous to the film industry to have these companies pull out, especially a company like Disney, like we just talked about, film Marvel. They film a lot of other projects in the city, including TV shows. I mean, it would be disastrous for Atlanta, for sure.
Well, if it's unconstitutional, the Supreme Court will say that it's unconstitutional. And I understand the left has certain lines in the sand that they draw, but again, it's amazing how that knife doesn't cut both ways. You let a conservative do something that's a little bit outrageous or outside the norm, they want to boycott them in a heartbeat. Limbaugh went through it a while back. Many conservatives have, and I just find it fascinating that Hollywood has no problem being outrageous and, you know, cutting edge avant-garde, but you let somebody on the conservative side try to do something like that, and they want to shout them down and, you know, try have a conservative personality give a speech on a campus in California and see what happens. They have to bring out the National Guard to protect them. It's crazy. I just find it ironic that the open-minded left in Hollywood want to start pulling financial support from states over basically issues involving, you know, local rule.
Yeah. Right. Well, these issues are important to the people that are working, too. I mean, these are issues that are important to me. These are important, like the people that I work with, you know, their jobs that are being taken away, they do care about these issues.
Do me a favor. That's a great point. Hold on. I got to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue. Michael Fortino is a working actor in Atlanta. Maybe California one day soon. I hope you don't go out there, though, man. The taxes will kill you. My friend Michael Fortino is a professional actor living in Atlanta. Been up there about a year. Fighting a good fight. By the way, buddy, I give you all the credit in the world. Virtually everyone that's ever worked in community theater in good old Augusta, GA, has a secret ambition and dream to do it professionally. Very, very few have the courage and the gumption to move to the big city and give it a shot, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Austin. I really appreciate you saying that.
All right. So our big question, though, how close do you think we are to a real pull out, because this abortion ban is not going to go into effect until it's passed constitutional muster, and it's not going to pass constitutional muster. I think that case law has established a long time ago that these types of bans are not going to stand up to court muster.
Yeah.
So
from what I've read, they're watching a lot of the major film companies are watching this closely. A lot of companies haven't come out and said anything. I believe only two companies have formally pulled out already. And I don't have those names.
They're minor companies. None of the big players are involved.
Right. But one was an affiliate of HBO, I believe. And, but I don't think, unless it really does pass, I don't think we'll be seeing anything major. But if it does, I definitely think we'll be losing companies, certainly like Disney, Marvel, studios like that.
Well, isn't it? What do you think about the fact, though? I pointed this out before I got you on the line, mm-hmm. that the whole reason Hollywood is here, they're not here for the grits and the gnats. They're not here for the humidity. They're here for the conservative-based tax breaks and labor laws, which are in complete and total opposition to the way that the laws and the industry is regulated in the taxes, rather, are regulated in California. So they're here based on conservative politics, but now they want to leave based on conservative politics. Isn't there a little bit of hypocrisy there?
I wouldn't say hypocrisy. I'd definitely say it's a bit of a double-edged sword, just because, you know, I mean, the tax laws, I mean, you're right. They are what brought Hollywood here, but I think in this case it's a separation of church and state. I think it's a violation of human rights here, and both times they have threatened to pull out have been both based on a violation of a human right.
You talking about the gay marriage thing?
Yeah. For sure.
Well, again, the Supreme Court kind of took that out of the conversation, and I think it's going to happen here.
And exactly. So if it doesn't really take any sort of, like, doesn't really gain any steam, I don't think they will.
Hmm. All right. Well, listen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. What would you do if you were – I mean, and granted, you're just starting out, so you don't have the luxury of, you know, pulling a Mel Gibson or a Morgan Freeman or something and just saying, I'll work on the next project. If you, as a struggling young actor, were given a lucrative role in a film in Atlanta, and all of a sudden they turned around and said – okay, we are going to have to shut this production down. The project is not going to get made, and you're going to give up your $100,000 2-month fee for working in this project. Would you be willing to make that sacrifice?
Austin, I stand with my morals. I certainly would.
Okay, and by the way, I admire that. Do you understand that people that are fighting this fight believe that a human life is involved, and that trumps any amount of money and any amount of professional consideration?
Like I said, Austin, I stand with what
I admire that. I just want you to understand this is not about religion as much as it is just protecting a human life. That's the feeling of the people that are so concerned about this. Not that Jesus is going to cry, but that a human life inside a woman's body is going to come to an end.
I think a lot of it has been blown out of proportion. I think some of it is, especially with the late term abortions, I think has been blown out of proportions, especially when it's talking about that the baby is not going to be able to survive. I mean, that's a very personal issue, and that's something that is a tough decision. Even imagining being a father, which is, I'm sure a lot of people my age imagine, is a really tough and scary decision to have to face, and I couldn't even imagine.
All right. Good to talk to you, my friend. Break a leg.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. See you, buddy. Michael Fortino from Atlanta, young actor up there just getting started. I've said it before. He's going to be a big star one day. Dad, I want to say something real quick. Completely personal. We all have decisions and choices that we make in life as to whether or not in our own personal world, we are going to we're going to hold grudges and we're going to walk around angry. And we can choose to do that, or you can choose to move on and make the best of a bad situation. And when a divorce occurs in your family, you know, unless there's a physical beating going on or somebody has stole money or, you know, abused children or something, it's incredibly difficult for even rational people to move on without resentment and anger. And certainly early on in that process, if a man and a woman are getting divorced after being married for a number of years, people dig in on both sides. And it's natural. It's completely natural. But the ability to move on and forgive is something that's I need to work on that myself. I'm trying as I get a little bit older to be cognizant of such things, that even though you feel like, you know, there have been angry or bitter words or actions between people in the past, that if there's, you know, genuine goodwill at the heart of the relationship, then you need to move on and get over it. And I don't know that I'd ever knew any two people that were better at doing that than my former in-laws, my daughter's mother's parents, and the Baxters, Jim and Linnell. They had every reason in the world to not ever want to see me or talk to me again after Olivia and I divorced. And I didn't beat her. I didn't steal money. I didn't do any of that. Matter of fact, I went overboard trying to make sure that she and Christine were taken care of. And maybe that helped build a little bit of goodwill. But after a couple of years, they made peace with me existing. And I'm not going to say that we hung out at the ball game together and went out and drank, because they didn't drink. But whenever I saw them, they went out of their way to be nice and cordial. And to the week that he passed away, Jim Baxter, my former father-in-law, would call me with technical questions: how to fix his VCR, how to get the cable remote to work right. Austin, I'm trying to make a decision on a cable package. Which one should I go with? I mean, it was hilarious, and I'd see I'd see the phone ring from that house. And once Christine, my daughter, got her own phone, she used to call me from there every now and then. So I would never answer the phone saying, hey, Jim and Linnell, what's going on? Because sometimes it was Christine. But when she got her own phone, she never called me from that phone again. So when I would see that phone number pop up on my phone, I'd say, oh, okay, which one is it? Jim and Linnell. And they would, Jim would always say, hey, Austin, Jim Baxter here. Like, yeah, okay, Jimbo, come on. 30 years, you and I go back. Come on, you don't need to. Until the week he passed away again, he would call me to ask me technical questions, and he would also ask my advice on voting. Hey, who's the guy that, you know, who was it you had on the show? Listen to the show every day. I mean, it was crazy. And Linnell, his wife, much the same way. She didn't have nearly as many questions about technical things because she didn't mess with them. She would get her grandkids to turn the TV on, and hopefully nobody needed to change the channel. That's just the way she was. She was a retired VA nurse, and I met a lot of people in this town in the course of my life, and my extended family got to know a lot of people. And I swear, maybe 2,000, 3,000 people over the years have come up to me and said, your mother-in-law or former mother-in-law worked with me or worked with a family member of mine or helped a family member of mine or helped me at the VA. And I just want to tell you what an angel she is. And she was. And she passed away this morning. 94 years old. We should all be so lucky. This woman was incredible. And the fact that she never stopped loving me ought to tell you something. That's tough when there has been a breakup of a marriage like that. And again, she was mad at me for a long time, and God bless her, she deserved to be. I mean, I deserved it coming my way. But it was not a situation that she wasn't able to put in the past. And she was a great example for so many of us, not just in that particular situation, but for so many of us, period, who couldn't get past petty disagreements when the bigger picture is family and peace. And this woman was amazing. Very difficult to hear your daughter's heartbreak like it was this morning. Very difficult to see. She's 28 years old. She was probably as close to her grandmother's as she has been to anybody. And Christine's kind of special that way. I don't know a lot of 28-year-old women that remained that close to their grandmothers as they got, you know, professional careers and kind of moved on in life. But she was at her grandmother's side almost nonstop the last couple of weeks. And I'm incredibly proud of my daughter. But more than that, I just wanted to say, if Linnell and Jim Baxter taught me anything, it's that keeping family relationships, even though you've got a family dynamic that's not traditional anymore, keeping family relationships and friendships not only civil, but cordial and warm is as important as anything that you'll ever know or deal with when you're going through a divorce. When my Uncle Freddie passed away a number of years ago, and then his wife, Aunt Jewel, Linnell was the first one to call and say, hey, if you need me to, I'll come sit at the house during the services. They had this tradition in Mississippi where she was from. Whenever anybody passed away, you always had a trusted member of the family that stayed at the house during, you know, funeral services so that the house wouldn't be targeted by bad guys. I mean, when you think about it, you go through the obituary page and say, hey, Jay's funeral is tomorrow. That means his house is going to be empty. Let's run over there and empty it out. And Linnell, she was always the first to volunteer for that duty, and it meant the world to my family that somebody that we loved and trusted, you know, would do that. And she, by the time, unfortunately, the last couple of funerals came along, she had gotten to the point where she couldn't do that anymore. But she always got me the message, if I could do it, I would. She did. She said, when my mother passed, and I said, thank you, Linnell, it means the world to me. Now I guess somebody's gonna be doing that for her. Great woman. And a true patriot. Over 40 years of service to the VA? That's amazing. God bless her.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Road Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to The Roads. Rewind of the Austin Road Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.